Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. Things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant and Radio Alabama Sports. Now, here are Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
We welcome you here live from Monte Alban No. 2 on the Ashland Square. This is Rusty Taylor. And I'm joined by Jerry Weems, Coach Jerry Weems, and Coach Chris Herron, and we are here for Football Fiesta. If you're just now joining us for the first time, we'll recap the game from last week against the Scottsboro Wildcats, and then we'll, for about the first segment, and then we'll have our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week come in with his position coach in the second segment. This week, that's LaDamian Boyd. He'll be bringing Coach JT Burns, running backs coach, in with him for the second segment about 6:15. And then at 6:30, we'll come back and we'll look at the Elmore County Panthers and our big region opponent for tomorrow night. And then in the last segment, we'll be looking at our schedule, how they fared last week, who they'll be competing against, and also 5A top 10, and who knows where else we'll go. So you'll want to stick around with us for the next hour right here on Football Fiesta. Coach Herron, you ready to get things going?
Let's do it, man. I'm ready to go. Yeah, I'm excited about it. About another Fiesta. Week 7, Vols headed into their 7th game of the year. And it's back into region play, you know, the ones that count. So we're in good shape so far in the region, being 3-0, and back to a region game this week, trying to stay right there at the top and battling that thing a few more weeks to we get this thing all shook out.
Coach Williams, you ready? You loaded and ready?
I'm ready, Rusty. You know, it's Volunteers coming into another week undefeated, and it's getting kind of slim on the undefeateds around the top 10. 5A's is pretty top heavy with them, but beyond that, there's not many that are still undefeated.
The Volunteers do come in, and will be coming in tomorrow night at Elmore County at 6-0. Let's look back at Scottsboro last week, a big Volunteer win. But you got to go back and give Scottsboro credit. They take the football, take about 10 minutes and 25 seconds, I think it was, the football, taking the football and going and scoring and there and kind of taking it to us a little bit. And we had to kind of make adjustments and adjust to what they were doing and kind of their physicality. But we did that well. And then really kind of took control somewhat later in the second quarter. And then we allowed a big kickoff that got them in field and you know, good field position to be able to score again in the half and kind of make it a one-score game again. But overall, I think the Volunteers played really, really well against a very good football team.
Well, and, you know, after that opening drive, there was a lot of head-scratching going on. Very unusual to see a team take the football and come straight at us and keep it for 10 and a half minutes. But that's what the Scottsboro team did. But as you said, some adjustments were made. Some little odds and ends personnel-wise. And the next two series, they went 3-out, and we tacked on 14 points and never looked back. So I think that first drive that Scottsboro had may have got our attention a little bit and made us focus in on really what was at hand there.
Well, let's look back at some stats. Let's start on offense. Of course, our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week. We'll talk more about his stats later, but he did have 15 rushes for 122 yards. He also caught some passes there. Let's see his receiving stats. 2 passes for 31, 1 TD. But you look at, again, Soap Gibbons, Soap with a big night. 9 rushes for 160 yards and 3 touchdowns from your quarterback there. Soap doing a great job running the football. Also, Kevin Cherry came in with 8 rushes for 87 yards and a touchdown. So that was the bulk of the rushing yardage. Again, you look at the receiving yards. LaDamian was the leading receiver. We didn't throw the football a lot. You know, we've had many games where we threw for more than we rushed for, but that was not the case on Friday night.
9 times in all.
Yeah, we only threw the ball 9 times, but rushed the ball extremely well. Coach, you have those rushing stats there. I don't have those in front of me right now. What's the total stat line there? For some reason, I don't have it in front of me.
Well, let me mention this. You know, the last few weeks we talked about how the Volunteers had thrown for more yardage than they'd rushed for. And, you know, we reversed that trend in a big way last week. We ended up with 378 yards rushing and only 37 yards passing. So I think we're back to a running football team after seeing a stat like that. And it came against a fairly good defense, too, I thought. But we were able to control the football, particularly in the second half, and keep it away from Scottsboro. And at the same time, we held them to 177 yards rushing, which is way below what their normal output is in a game. And passing, they went 8 for 15, only 46 yards. And, you know, we were doing a very good job. When they caught the ball, we were putting them on the ground immediately. There was no yards after the catches. So a very good night on both sides of the ball there for the Vols.
And that offensive performance, those rushing yards, you know, we look at the grades, what our guys get up front, you know, across the offensive line. We had that 378 rushing yards on 35 carries across the front, you know, grade-wise, a little down from what we've had the last few weeks. But the competition level was a good bit higher than what we faced the last few weeks. So we had 4 of our 5 guys grading in the blue from 70 or up. We had J.D. Owens at 71, our center Chance Helms at 70, Cole Rice at 79, and Noah Peterson at 77. So 4 of our 5 guys, you know, in the blue, 70% or better, and that kind of, you know, that led the way, helped pave the way for that 378 yards on those just 35 carries. And you know, so it started there. The pass protection, you know, pretty good. But again, we didn't throw that much. And because of some of the opportunities and some of the individual battles we were winning on the offensive line, then that allowed us to have, you know, very good success running the ball. And then defensively, you know, their attack against us was, it's kind of something we hadn't seen a lot of. I mean, they were just kind of at times lining up and coming straight at us between the tackles. And that first drive, that, you know, 10 minutes and 31 seconds, that type of offensive drive against us is something that we hadn't seen much ever, you know, in the last few years at all. And some adjustments were made after that, and, you know, physically and adjustments. Also, I think some mental adjustments took place because of the level of competition was just, you know, higher than what we'd faced the last few weeks. And our guys realized, you know, hey, this is a very good football team just trying to match us from a physicality standpoint. And, you know, that was a good win to go on the road. You know, a situation that was not a region game, but two good football teams that I expect to go, once the playoffs begin, I look for both of those teams to advance, you know, into the playoffs.
And think about this, Coach, on that opening drive, you know, we mentioned they had 177 yards. They had about 70 of it on that opening drive.
That's
and then
right.
They had 46 yards passing. And you remember they hit one big play there in the middle for about 25 yards. So mm-hmm. They got half their passing yards on that drive. So the defense kind of stiffened after that opening drive.
And they had 3 times on that possession. We had them the third down in what would be considered long, 7 yards or more,
yeah.
And they convert, you know, all 3 of those third downs. So, you know, chances to get off the field in that drive, but that was a good team. They converted and made some plays. And you know, we got things adjusted and looked at maybe a little different. But what's
impressive, you know, when you tack on our 37 yards passing, it put us over 400 yards total offense.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you go over 400 yards, you've probably scored a lot unless you turn the ball over.
Absolutely. And you look at turnovers. I mean, we had, you know, we lost no – we didn't even fumble the ball. And neither team fumbled the ball. The ball was not on the ground. But they threw 1 interception. We did not throw any. So there was that – ain't a one turnover in that whole game. Again, that's two good football teams that, that play pretty good football. And it was just a very good high school football game. You know, the win-loss didn't really help hurt either team. And again, I think both teams will be keeping an eye on. Obviously, there are Vols and Scottsboro from a distance. And I look for them to advance, you know, throughout the playoffs a few rounds and see how far they can go. Being in the north, you know, they're one of those teams that we'll be keeping an eye on.
Well, let's before we wrap up Scottsboro, let's continue to talk about the defensive side and do some specifics here as we hadn't really talked about the defense. We had four tacklers going into double digits on total tackles, counting solos and also assists. Leading in tackle, the Boyd brothers had big nights, the two safeties. Tyler Boyd had 9 solos, 7 assists on the night. So, and also his brother Taylor Boyd had 8 solos and 4 assists, so 12 total tackles there. So our safety's really getting in the game. Of course, that is LaDamian's brothers there coming up big in the secondary. And your first thing you say, and I think you start saying, well, our safeties is making that many tackles. And it may not be the best thing, but the way they were running and running weak, they were running a lot of weak side option, which was requiring our safeties to come up and run support there and come up and play that option, which brought them up on the line, requiring them to play more up there. So it's not the worst thing in the world when your safeties are making those that many tackles. Kind of an interesting thing. Two more tacklers that got into double digits on the night. Cam Mullins, from his linebacker spot, the sophomore had 4 solos, 6 assists. And let me find Amari. Amari Ward had 3 solos and 7 assists. Coming back from injury, good to have Amari back. And so that interior part of the defense there. Most of the tackles were led by our safeties and our two inside linebackers, but a lot of that's because of what they were trying to do offensively and how they were trying to attack us. But a good job by those guys to rack up those numbers in tackles.
Well, and I think some of that, the safeties, and they made a lot of plays defensively, but a little bit of that was the game plan, defensive game plan last week, because of the type of offense they played. It wasn't like the free safety just kind of hanging back 12, 15 yards and having to make tackles when they broke through. You know, they were heavily involved in stopping the run. Some specific keys they were reading and certain places, you know, that it put them up to the line of scrimmage to help assist against the run much quicker than you would against a traditional spread team that has the threat of more of a passing game than you would normally see out of your safeties.
And with them running the ball 40 times, there's plenty of opportunities.
Absolutely.
For tackles to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you go back and look at that. We talked about that. But one thing they did, you guys had watched a lot of film, I had too, and they showed something that they really hadn't shown a lot, and that was wanting to run the option. And their pitch man being an option, the guy coming in motion, mm-hmm, from the backside. So they were kind of getting us there on our weak side, running to their weak side, and that's where they wanted to run that option and attack us. So our safety had to come up and run support there, you know, and take on the pitch man and be kind of on the pitch man there, because they were pitching it a good bit too. But a good night for the Volunteer defense, a good challenge, things that you just don't see what they do a whole lot.
No, you don't.
Anymore.
You don't.
And that's another challenge. Even though it was out of the shotgun, it's more like the old wing tee. It's kind of the plays they run. They like to pull those guards around and pull a lot of people and keep things moving and get numbers by outflanking you, post snap, so to speak. Put a lot of motion in and try to get you moving and get you out of position. But the Volunteers stood to the test. You got to give Coach Burkhalter and his defensive staff a good nod there. One thing, when you're seeing something you hadn't seen a lot, being able to make adjustments quickly and not waiting until the second half, making adjustments after one drive, mm-hmm, and really, really stalling. If we don't give them the football at the 16, they likely don't score maybe again, and especially in the first half. So we didn't talk a lot about kicking game. Scoring there. Our kickoff team gave up that kickoff there. We had one time that was a big time, I think, is the first time we punted the football, which was actually, you know, we were three and out. We had the football 3 times. and we were unable to get the punt off to end the first quarter with the wind at our back.
And we were trying to.
We were trying, but we really didn't have time to get everybody out there and get everybody positioned. We switch around, wind in our face, great snap there by Braden Sprayberry, and Taylor gets off a great punt.
Maybe the best punt he's had all year.
Yeah.
It wasn't
the longest, but in the set, how much it meant,
yes.
I would say it was the most important.
Hang time.
It was kind of into the wind, too.
Yes, it was into the wind. That's right. First play of the second quarter.
So just a big night for the Volunteers. I think a big win. You know, it was a game we've actually been helping, but you've heard a lot of people talked it up because you felt like it was going to be top. After their big win right off the bat against Fort Payne, a ranked 6A team, and then some other wins they've gotten, you started to see they're in the top 10. We're in the top 10. It's going to be a 5A top 10 battle. And, of course, they came in at 7th, and we come in at 3rd. And, you know, one of the bigger games, because some of the other big games that were around the state ended up getting canceled. So probably one of the biggest games in the state that people wanted to see how it was going to come out with a South team going up to play one of the top teams in the North. And it was good for the Volunteers to come out on top. But really a pretty dominating win in the end. Well, let's take our first break, and we'll come back. When you come back, Coach Heron's going to give up his seat. And we'll let Coach JT Burns come in here. And also LaDamian Board, our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week, presented by Britches and Bows. Stick around right here for Football Fiesta, live from Monte Albán number 2 on the Ashland Square.
Ashland Auto Parts, locally owned and operated, says Go Vols. They specialize in heavy truck service and equipment and industrial and farm equipment. They also serve the needs of local poultry house owners and loggers. Jim, Jack, Ralph, Logan, or Sharon at Ashland Auto Parts. Open Monday through Saturday. Ashland Auto Parts, Highway 9 and 2nd Street in downtown Ashland.
Don's Pawn and Jewelry in Ashland is a trusted local pawn shop with years of experience serving Clay County residents and beyond. The shop has items including jewelry, electronics, tools, guns, and more. With a reputation for reliability, Don's Pawn and Jewelry has a secure and friendly environment. Conveniently located on Court Square in Ashland, the shop is a well-known spot in the community for quality goods and trusted service. 256-354-2727. 256-354-2727.
East Central Alabama Gas District is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network and the Radio Alabama Foundation. Located Highway 77 in Ashland, East Central Alabama Gas has teamed up with Natural Gas Connection as your hometown natural gas appliance store. They offer free financing up to 60 months. East Central Alabama Gas has Generac generators, tankless water heaters, space heaters, and gas logs, as well as grills. Their phone number is 256-354-2194. East Central Alabama Gas District, Natural gas, comfortable, responsible.
The Clay Central Sports Network is made possible by sponsors like Farmhouse and Company in Lineville. Open Thursday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 9 p.m., they feature several cuts of steak, including the famous Farmhouse Cut, which is a 20-ounce ribeye cooked to your liking. Farmhouse and Company also features their pork chop meal and hamburger steak covered with brown gravy and sautéed onions with mushrooms. Their phone number is 256-396-3050, and their full menu is available online at farmhousefeedyou.com.
We welcome you back here live from Monte Alba number 2 on the Ashland Square to Football Fiesta as we move into our second segment here on Classic Country 90.9 and the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network. We've got two new people at the table. We kind of told you we were bringing them in. First of all, down at the far end, good to have, first of all, back in Clay County, back at home, back on the staff here at Central High School of Clay County, JT Burns.
It's good to be here.
Good to be here. He's putting the pressure on you over here. Yeah. But it is good to have JT back. This kind of thing didn't happen back in your playing day, did you?
No.
Never got interviewed on it.
There was none of this. So.
He played a little QB1, too, and still didn't get interviewed. What do you think about that one, Amy?
We very rarely had anybody that would have won it if we did.
Golly. Yeah. And our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week, LaDamian Boyd. Congratulations, LaDamian. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This ain't your first time to be here, is it?
No, sir.
He's done this before, so he's had his feet wet.
Yeah,
Coach Burns, you have.
I'm the newbie.
But it is good to have both of you. And first, we're going to start with you, Coach Burns. We're going to look back and, And I know when you came here and they moved you or placed you there with the running backs, there was a lot of jokes, and some of it may be jokes, some of it may have been serious, but I know some of the things that was said was you kind of handed Coach Burns the keys to a Corvette. Don't mess it up. Kind of like handing a great vehicle to a young coach or a young athlete. So here they are. I know Coach Jake Phillips made the move over to the offensive line. I think he had a few words like that for you
too. Oh yeah, he told me for sure.
but what has it been like being back at home? I know you've been coaching, come out of college and coached and started coaching up at ended up coaching up at Cleburne County with your father. But I know it's got to be good to be back. What's it like to be back at home?
It just feels good. It's home. It's somewhere that I want to be, and just very excited to be here. Very good group of guys to work with. They're fun to coach. They work hard. About three seniors. So Coach Heron was one of the ones that made the joke, by the way. So, I enjoy it. It's, I look forward to going to practice every day and working with them. So,
well, I have to tell you one thing. Going out there to a couple of practices and watching you work, and I, of course, being able to coach you when you were playing and watch you. But the thing I noticed straight off, and I know you've heard this, but I'm going to tell you right here on there, you look so much like your father as you're out there coaching. Some of your tendencies and the things you do that I never expected you to do, when you get to coaching, you look so much like him. But there's nothing wrong with that. That's something to be proud of.
I've heard that before. So.
Yeah. You can definitely see your father in you when you're out there coaching. So, and I didn't know we'd see that. Well, LaDamian, obviously you had a big year last year. You come back. There was a lot of question marks, not for you, but a lot of people had question marks, and even us at some, coming off the major injury you did, and you've had a great year. I know the wealth has been spread around. Maybe not dependent on you. It's not that you're not playing great, but a lot more people to spread the ball around to. But how would you how you feel about how your year's gone so far?
I feel pretty good about it. Like all the eyes are spying on me. I was coming in the season expecting to do that, but since we got Soap at quarterback, we get to do more in the backfield, So, and it doesn't bother me at all when I don't get the ball, because I know we got other players on the field that's gonna make plays. And then when I need to make a play, they give me the ball and I make a play.
Well, let's look at your stats real quick. I know Coach Weems has got plenty of things to ask you, you guys. But here, LaDamian Boyd had 15 carries for 122 yards. He also had two receptions for 31 yards, and those were not all out of the backfield. LaDamian's the type of athlete you can spread him out, put him in the slot, which we did on Friday night, and use him there. He also had a great offensive grade at 87%. And getting to fill in there a little bit of safety for your brothers, had one solo and one assist. So just an overall great night. But going back, there was a couple blocks. Calling the ball game for us, we're watching the football a lot. So we're focused in on that. But there was a couple of blocks that you made, one on Kevin Cherry's the tall sweep to the short side of the field, and you make a great block. But a couple of blocks that you made, it was just – they were more impressive to me than any of these other stats. Just how you get down the field, the physicality you block with, it makes a huge difference. Not just being willing to run hard, but to block, and that's impressive to me.
Yes, sir.
Do you enjoy blocking?
Yes, sir, I do.
I get that feeling. When you block like that, Coach Burns, use that means he's a physical player.
Yep.
And that's a great opportunity to use. Because when we've got him with the ball, we kind of want him to try to shy away from most of those hits.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get him to outrun people or fake people off. But when he's blocking, it's a totally different deal, and he takes advantage of that.
Oh, yeah, he does a great job blocking. That's one thing you really don't have to worry about, his physicality and blocking, and he's always going to be doing what he's supposed to be doing. So
that's hard to top somebody doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
Coach Weems, I've kind of held you back here, so go ahead.
Well, Coach Burns, first of all, most everybody has a good running back that stands out, mm-hmm. but you're fortunate enough. You've got not only LaDamian, but virtually a stable of running backs.
Yeah.
So, that's really a blessing when you have the depth that you can step out there with on Friday nights to have that many good running backs. And I know that, you know, we were talking about LaDainian's blocking. I know you spend a lot of time on things in practice that aren't the attractive things, you know, like carrying out fakes, pass protection, and the blocking downfield that LaDainian was doing so well. Do y'all spend a lot of time in practice on those kind of
things? Every Tuesday, for sure, we block. And a lot of times we'll spend the whole time blocking. We hit on it a little Monday. But we do. We spend a lot of time blocking, you know, work on bone blocking, you know, being physical doing that, pass protection, you know, weekly. You know, it changes, making sure they know what to do, who we're, you know, who we're calling it to, what backer, and this, that, and other. So, yes, we spend a lot of time blocking.
Well, that's, you can tell by the things that we see on the field. And the Damon, he mentioned the wishbone. Do you like to have three backs in there?
Yes, sir, I do.
Well, that's a good question. I wondered with his ability to run or whatever, but you like having the kind of the two other partners back there for
sure. There's so many things you can do, you know, with three people.
Do you like lead blocking off of the, out of the wishbone as
yes,
well when
do.
That power
I love
comes
it,
your way? Okay, fired and in there. That's that's awesome. And what a group! As that was mentioned, Coach Burns, tell us kind of what your group looks like. I know you got some younger guys, but also you got a lot of guys that kind of share reps in there, especially when you go to the wishbone having a fullback. So tell us a little bit about your group and that you have there in the running backs group.
Yeah, so there's LaDainian and Kevin. They do a really good job, and then, you know, you get in the bone, you got Damari there as well. And yeah, you get in the wishbone, you got those three in the backfield. That's three really good ones.
And down the line, some younger guys.
Yes, which we got Taylor. Taylor, he got some reps at running back last week. He doesn't let me forget that, you know. He can still play some running back.
And he has in the past, not as much this year, but we've used him, and he's shown a lot that he can do that.
He does a really good job.
And the good thing, he's not a senior.
No, he's not.
So I think his reps could definitely pick up down the road.
Yes, they can. But, yeah, a group of young guys, they do a good job. You know, they're learning. You know, that's the thing. After this year, three of them are gone.
And, talking about the young guys, they've had, with the type games we've ended up, they've gotten plenty of opportunities to get in.
They have, and, you know, you guys know it, but
which is invaluable.
There's not any better experience than Friday nights. So them getting to play is really big for them down the road.
Well, LaDainian, I want to talk to you a little bit about those guys that are behind you. I know the type of player you are, the type of person you are. You enjoy helping some of those guys. Speak to a little bit about that and some of those guys that we've seen kind of, you know, later to get more reps a little bit early that being able to get. Just talk a little bit about that depth and how you're able to be a kind of a captain of the group, so to speak.
Well, like, you know, the younger ones, they like to look up to me. So, like, it feels good, like, teaching them how to do the thing, little things right so they can make the big things happen. And, like, just having them look up to me just makes me feel like a real good leader.
And I know a lot of those guys in group work are the guys that he's blocking.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're having to block those guys kind of there.
They go hard. They give me a good look so I can get a good look on Friday nights.
Yeah, I've seen some of those younger guys or guys that hadn't played a lot lately in your group work really showing themselves now. And your brother's out there trying to give you a hard time.
Nah.
Would you want to coach one day?
Yes, sir, I would. I'd love to.
Is that kind of your goal?
Yes, sir.
I can see that. I guess Coach Williams can too, or he wouldn't ask you that. He can see that in you and that ability to do. Coach Burns, how do you feel about it? What kind of coach do you think LaDainian would be?
I think he'd be a good coach. You know, thinking about LaDainian, one of the things is he's a good leader. He's always doing what he's supposed to.
Coaches don't always do that.
No. He does a good job. He does a good job with the younger kids or B-team players and talking to them about how to do things. And doing things the right way, that's the most important part. So, yeah, I agree. He would make a really good coach.
LaDainian, and I'm going to give him credit. Tommy Wood just came up, my partner on Saturday mornings for Volunteer Voices, and brought up something that I should have thought about one thing, it's physical therapist month, but another thing, we talked about your injury, which it was a major injury. It was a scary injury for you and your family and everybody watching, your teammates. But talk about your rehab and your therapy and how much work it took, but how many people that helped you to get there. It was a long summer working to get back.
Yes, it was. Physical therapy, amazing staff, you know. Just some days I went in there, just had to work, just keep putting in work, and like I was just tired, but I knew I had to keep pushing so I can have a good senior year. And you know, just pushing myself through physical therapy maybe put me to the point where I'm at now, you know. And I'm not 100%, but about 95%, and that 5% I need is my speed back, because I ain't got all that speed back yet.
But I did see I saw one cut that I hadn't seen this year down there inside the 10 one time. You didn't end up scoring on that play, but it was one of those cuts that I was used to seeing last year. So
it felt good.
Yeah, you remember the one I'm talking about too. I'm like, just everybody can't do that. Yes, I mean, that move that you made and that speed continue. But we are blessed here in Clay County to have a great group of physical therapists that you were able to do that locally, and they buy into what they're doing, what you're trying to do. And I know that was huge. You know a lot of those people. Now you know them really well because you spent a lot of time with them.
Yes, sir, I do.
So I know you very much appreciate what they did and how they got you to where you're back at right now at the top of the game in 5A football. They just don't come much better than LaDainian Boyd, or any better the way I see it than LaDainian Boyd in the backfield. Coach Burns, we're going to get ready to close out this segment. We want to give you anything you want to say here or as we get ready to close out.
Go Vols.
that's a good thing. Yeah. Well, Coach Williams, what do you got for these two before we let them go?
Well, it's an honor to be able for us to give this award to LaDainian, and for him to have Coach Burns here with him. And LaDainian, you've had a great career, no question about it, and it's not over by any stretch of the imagination. There's still some big things ahead, we feel like. So congratulations on winning this award.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
Well, Damian, anything you want to say or anybody you want to thank? Or I'm not trying to put any pressure on you here, but we're about to take the headset away from you, so take advantage of it.
Thank you to all my coaches and Go Vols.
Hey, they'll appreciate that. Well, we are very proud, LaDainian. After being there at Wetumpka last year watching that, you know, there was question marks. Would you be back at this table? I mean, these things come in your mind. I know they were for you as well. So it is really good to see you back starting each week at running back and working hard and earning this award. And who knows, it may not be the last time you come back up here. But last week's Player of the Week in the Clay Central versus Scottsboro game on September the 27th is LaDainian Boyd, and this is presented by Breeches and Bows. The Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Game is LaDainian Boyd. Congratulations, LaDainian.
Thank you.
Good job, buddy. We're going to take another break right here and come back with our third segment on Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albon, number two.
Simple, fast, accurate. Hi, I'm Chad Jones, President and CEO of First Bank of Alabama. We know life moves fast, and that's why we've made banking simple. With our cutting-edge mobile app, you can manage your finances anytime from anywhere life takes you, like paying bills, transferring funds, and even check deposits right from your phone. Banking that fits your lifestyle. First Bank of Alabama, where you are first. Online at fbal.bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Radio Alabama Foundation is sponsored by loyal listeners and by First Capital Insurance in Lineville. Are you looking for peace of mind? At First Capital Insurance, we've got you covered. From your home to your car to your business to life insurance, we offer tailored coverage that fits your needs and budget. Our expert team is here to guide you through every step, ensuring that you get the protection that you deserve. First Capital Insurance, located at 575 College Street in Lineville. Their phone number is 256-396-2131. With First Capital Insurance, you're not just a policy number, you're family.
Frank's Point of View, a hidden gem overlooking Talladega National Forest. Enjoy endless views, stunning sunsets, and starry nights. Each spacious RV site includes a picnic table, sun canopy, privacy panel, fire pit, and hammock hooks. Hike miles of scenic trails and let your four-legged friends roam free. Frank's Point of View is online at frankspointofview.com. Phone number 256-456-5800. Frank's Point of View, your perfect getaway awaits.
Harris Plumbing and Electric is your local hardware store in Ashland. They started out specializing in plumbing and electric work, but listened to the community and grew into a hardware store. There's no need to travel to big box stores and wander around trying to find something. Think local. Harris Plumbing and Electric on 2nd Street Northwest in Ashland, across from the Ashland City Library.
We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albon number two on Ashland Square. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems. Also, Coach Chris Herron has re-entered and come back to the table after giving his headset up there. Coach Herron, we always like to give you a little chance to give your take because you're unable to do it on the air there when you have to give your headset up. But what's your take on, number one, on Coach Burns, which you coached? Mm-hmm. You were the head coach for Coach J.T. Burns. Speak a little bit to that, and then LaDamian Boyd.
Well, J.T., you know, I'm proud of him. It's fun to see him be back here and doing, you know, coaching and being back at his high school alma mater. He was a tremendous asset when he played. Here's a little interesting tidbit about J.T. that people may not realize. He was a ninth grader the first year of Central, and his ninth, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade year, he played in every game. He was the first year, it was as the holder on extra points and field goals. But he got to play in every game for the first 4 years that Central was there. So that's kind of a neat little trivia tidbit about him.
And he played some other sports as well.
Oh, yeah, he played other sports. Yeah, yeah, he did. But he played in the first four, you know, however many games there was those first 4 years. That's kind of a neat thing. But he, you know, a tremendous young man. It's been fun to watch him. You know, went on to college. I think he was involved with on the managerial staff and at Auburn University when he was in school, and he had a lot of great experiences there through those years, and then back into coaching. You know, there with his dad, along with Dawson, your son, up at Cleburne County for a few years, and now he's back at home, and it's good to see him. Good to see him back here, and proud to watch him grow. Get to spend a little time with him on Friday nights and kind of listen to him and how he talks his guys through some of the situations they face. And it's neat to hear him. And I'm like you at practice every now and then. He reminds me of his dad so much. Just his mannerisms and the way says things, yeah.
Yeah, I mean the actions, how he responds and moves around.
Yeah,
it's really fun to stand back and watch
him.
You know, and he's not doing it on purpose.
No, it's just him.
It's neat to see.
You see his dad in him, and I guess that's a very good thing. LaDamian, I mean, he's just, you know what, he's fun to watch. He is a fun, he's a great high school football player. It's been fun to watch him throughout his career. And, you know, just anything he accomplishes and you see him do on the football field, it's to the point now none of it's really a surprise. It's kind of things we expect, but he is it's fun to watch him play, and I'm glad he's wearing the red, white, and blue of the Volunteers every Friday night.
Well, he wears it well. Not just in between snaps. He's just that type of kid that you're glad you have. And I know Coach Burns, as he shares, glad to have him. Well, let's transfer into tomorrow night's game. One thing I will mention, I'm not going ahead and giving my Blair Family Farm and Market weather report. But I will tell you that there's a very good likelihood that they're going to get rain during the day tomorrow down there that we may not get. But it looks like it'll be clear for game time. But I'm expecting them to get a decent amount of rain down there tomorrow night. But the good thing is we played on a wet field last week, and it didn't really seem to affect us very much. So there is a higher chance of rain there during the day, not during game time. We don't want to steer anybody away from going because it looks like it's supposed to be out about 5 o'clock.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Taylor. I'll carry my raincoat. I don't care if it's 0%.
Yeah.
I got called a few weeks ago without mine, and that was the first time in 30 years that happened.
I'm rolling the dice.
It won't get me again.
I'm not caring.
Well, you don't have to, Coach.
We know we're covered up, but it could be a blowing rain that could get you there. But
mine will be there.
There is a chance of rain. There's a small chance here, but there's a larger chance down south, and some of the people in South Alabama is really going to get some rain. They're actually, some of them already getting it. But just mentioning that, but let's talk about Elmore County. It seems funny one of those teams be the first one that we're going back-to-back years. We traveled down to Elmore County last season, and we'll return and go right back to Eclectic, a team that has really moved up through, you know, during my playing years, which has been a long time ago, don't get me wrong, back in the 90s, mid-90s, they were a 2A football team.
Mm-hmm.
They always competed well. Now they've moved up to 5A, and that's not by consolidation. That's by a lot of people moving in, moving down on that southern end of Lake Martin, and, you know, a lot of people moving into that area. Coach Caldwell talked to us a little bit about that the other day. But Elmore County is a much-improved football team over the last few years under Coach Caldwell, and they'll be coming in at 3-1-1, but officially 3-1 because there's no ties in high school football, and the game didn't finish. Many of you may remember they played Tallahassee, and the game got shortened. They had some thread issues, end up canceling the game. So that's like a no contest is what that ends up being. So officially they're 3-1. They were tied 14-14 when they went to that. But, yeah, you men talk a little bit about Elmore County and what you think about the Panthers.
Well, you know, I watched some film on them, and what I saw, first of all, was two quarterbacks. They kind of alternate two quarterbacks. One of them's William Davis and one of them's Caleb Spivey. And Davis maybe throws the ball a little bit better than Spivey. And on the other hand, Spivey is a better runner. So what that's telling the volunteer defensive players, they're going to have to pay attention and know who's in at quarterback. And that will help a little bit on maybe what's coming. So, and both of them do a good job for what they're trying to do. They like to run the football. And, you know, they're more heavily on run than they are pass. They'll do some RPO and try to throw some quick things and keep their quarterback out of some extreme pressure. But those are some of the things I've seen. They have a big tight end they like to use, and he's a big part of their running game. And defensively, they've got a linebacker that's just very good. He's a three-year starter. His name is Jackson Mann, and he covers everything. You know, for balls run inside, you know, anywhere inside from the tackle's end, he's going to be right there making a play. So those are some of the things I've seen watching the Elmore County team.
Did you mention the two quarterbacks?
I did, Coach.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Were you daydreaming?
Well, I was looking at my notes, and
one of them's a sophomore. Davis, which seems to play a little bit more, is the sophomore, number 12. But Caleb Spivey, the senior, is the runner.
He's more the runner guy.
Both of them, both of them throws, and I think William Davis throws it pretty well. One thing to mention is that the runner is their punter.
Yes.
Too. So that's always just a scary thing to me when the quarterback that's a runner is your punter. But actually, I saw both of the quarterbacks punt on film. So you know, number 12 and number 1. So that's a little bit strange there. But looking, one of the things that stood out to me, and not as much watching them on film, obviously I didn't know this, but when you look at the starting lineup, they're starting 5 sophomores, or possibly 6 sophomores, depending on what group they put out there. So they're a sophomore heavy team, but they do have 2 seniors on the offensive line, but 3 sophomores on the offensive line. They got a sophomore quarterback, a sophomore running back, and also a sophomore tight end. So that's a lot of sophomores on offense for sure.
Well, Coach Caldwell told us this morning, we had him on the 3-point stance, and he mentioned the fact that they had 20 some odd seniors last year and that they were a young football team. And you just mentioned some of that. There'll be a lot of sophomores in there. And and another thing I forgot to mention, you know, they play a 4-3 defense, which, of course, and depending on formation, may go to a 4-2. But they've got 2 very good defensive ends, and those defensive ends try to funnel things back to the inside where their linebackers can make plays. So they're going to be, you know, basically, with, you know, if we're in no tight end, we may see more 4-2. But if we have a tight end, it's going to be a standard 4-3 defense.
And then even at times, Coach, probably against our wishbone short yardage situations, we're going to even see some 5-3.
Yeah, they'll bring some.
They're going to come down into that bare front, 3 techniques on our guards, trying to keep that middle clogged up there, and then 1-3 techniques with that 4-man front across the front, and they're going to flip-flop their defensive line. They're going to have a – their tackle and outside linebacker, they're going to have a, or their end and outside linebacker, they're going to have a strong side, weak side. They're going to flip back and forth with it, you know, depending on our, the strength of our.
You don't see many people do that anymore.
No, you don't.
Strong and weak
side. Used to be a lot more.
It did, yes, it did.
It's common.
One thing, they're going to struggle with that a little bit when we want to go quick. I noticed that.
They will,
you know, how some of the times, but you guys were talking about the outside linebackers. One of those is that talented quarterback that runs the football is one of those defensive ends. Caleb Spivey is one of those guys that plays one of those outside linebackers, which comes in and is their running quarterback. So it shows you the athletic ability. If you look at the defense, there's three seniors on the front four, and the other one's a junior. And then Coach mentioned Jackson Mann, kind of the anchor of that defense there. So those interior guys are really good on defense. I think Coach Horn mentioned it, I do believe. But when you look at Elmore County and you think they were a very good football team last year, we went down there and really took control, probably played one of our better games.
Played very well. We did play well.
But the defense is definitely – their defense is, without a doubt, in my mind, better than they were last year.
Well, and if you know, if something just an old coach thing, you add up scores. They've given up the same amount of points we have this year defensively. See, I think it's 69 points both defenses have given up.
So they've – the defense is,
yes,
is impressive.
They are,
and they've played some solid teams. And I mean, with good offenses. So, anything else y'all want to add there about Elmore County before we cut out of this segment and get prepared for the last one?
Well, it's a big region game, and it's big to them, in particular with, you know, already lost to Beauregard, so they're not in a situation where they can afford to lose many more region games.
Well, we just want you to plan to travel down to Eclectic with us. We'll be sitting over there behind you. If you're in the visitor bleachers, we'll be right up above you there on the platform. Kind of a neat deal. I kind of like there's things about that I like, being out in the atmosphere, and I look forward to that tomorrow night down in Eclectic right there, because that platform, that long platform that us and the coaches will be on, is right behind our fans. But there's a connection that you gain from that we don't always get being in a booth. So I look forward to that opportunity tomorrow night. So I hope you come down there like you did last week. Travel big up to Scottsboro. We need to travel big down to Eclectic tomorrow night. But if you can't, you know how you can listen to us right here. We're going to take our last break, come back. We'll look at our opponents, how they fared last week, who they'll be playing, and then also the 5A top 10 right here on Classic Country 90.9.
Tires are an investment, and you can extend the life of your tires with proper alignment. Highway 9 Tire in Lineville now has a calibrated four-post alignment rack for front and rear alignments. This all-new alignment rack works on the newest models and even the antique cars. The phone number for Highway 9 Tire is 256-396-3040. They also offer a full-time mechanic to keep you rolling down the road. Highway 9 Tire is also your local Exmark dealer and is proud to support Classic Country 90.9 and the Clay Central Sports Network.
This is Rusty Taylor, the voice of the Volunteers, and I got myself a heel deal.
Hi, this is Coach Jerry Weems. I found myself a heel of a deal at Heel Auto Sales in Lineville.
This is Coach Chris Herra, and I got myself a heel deal at Heel Auto Sales.
Located downtown Lineville, Heel Auto Sales is open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Heel Auto Sales, a proud supporter of the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Honey's Home Cooking. The sound of that probably takes you back to your mom's special dish or those meals at Grandma's house. A meal at Honey's Cafe may not cause you to spend hours in the kitchen, but it tastes just like you did. Located at 60 Park South in Lineville, Honey's Cafe features meats and vegetables that are cooked fresh each morning. Open Sunday through Friday from 10:30 to 2. Their phone number is 256-396-9101. Honey's Cafe is proud to bring you volunteer athletics on the Clay Central Sports Network.
From sleek modern kitchens to timeless classic styles, Integrity Cabinets has the perfect solution for every home. Their custom cabinets are designed to fit unique needs and taste, ensuring every detail is perfect. Integrity Cabinets, where quality meets integrity, building something amazing together. The phone number is 256-354-1431, and their website is integritycabinets.com. Integrity Cabinets, sponsoring the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
located at 61272 Highway 49 North in Lineville. Matthews Meat Market is a true butcher shop, but they also have so much more. Frozen vegetables including corn, speckled butter beans, and okra. They also have shrimp, salmon, and tuna steaks. Matthews Meat Market is open 8 to 5 Monday through Saturday, except for Wednesdays. Matthews Meat Market, from a local farm to a local table, and proud supporters of the Clay Central Sports Network.
One stop at Piggly Wiggly in Ashland and Lineville, and you realize their investment in today's youth. From the cashiers to those mopping the floors to the ones taking your groceries to the car, many of those are local students. They're learning what it takes to be a part of a team and the value of hard work. Piggly Wiggly has been providing young folks an opportunity for years, and that continues today. Piggly Wiggly in the heart of Ashland and Lineville, proud to support our local schools and the Radio Alabama Foundation.
In business since 2012, Poultry South specializes in helping buy or sell poultry farms. The Poultry South team understands the unique needs of their customers, and PoultrySouth.com is now the go-to web portal for poultry farms for sale in Alabama, Georgia, and throughout the Southeast. The website is PoultrySouth.com. The Poultry South team at Southeastern Land Group is proud to support local radio on Classic Country 90.9 and the Clay Central Sports Network.
A brisket biscuit. It's more than a tongue twister. It's a taste bud pleaser. Sassy's convenience store in Lineville features smoked brisket as one of their many breakfast items. Sassy's also has bacon, ham, pork chop, and sausage biscuits, and you can even add egg and cheese to any of them. They also have homemade gravy biscuits. Located at 88785 Highway 9 in Lineville, Sassy's is a proud supporter of the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Your local real estate professional, Spencer Loveless with Southeastern Land Group, is a Clay County native. Spencer is licensed in Alabama and Georgia and services landowners throughout East Central Alabama. He specializes in selling recreational properties, farms, and rural homesteads. Spencer is also a member of the Poultry South team and is dedicated to helping you get top market value for your property. For a market evaluation on your property, the phone number is 256-283-3198. Spencer Loveless of Southeastern Land Group is the official land agent of Volunteer Voices on Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta Live from Monte Alban number 2 on the Ashland Square as we move into the last segment.
Taylor, can this guy here sit right there?
Yeah, I've not have anything to look up.
Okay, never mind then. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Well, I'd already unplugged and started rolling up.
I understand.
Well, let's move into our opponents and how they fared last week.
Okay, let's do it. I'm ready. The Hanley Tigers, hey, last week they were at Lynette. All games last week, non-region games. Hanley was at Lynette, and they won over the Lynette Panthers 31-12 to run their season record to 4-2. This week they will be on the road again at Bullock County, taking that on Bullock County in there as they jump back into region play. Benjamin Russell, they even their record up on the year at 3-3. They defeated Charles Henderson 29-0 last week at the Sportsplex in Alex City.
That could be an opponent for us.
Possible opponent, first round of the playoffs, Charles Henderson. This week, Benjamin Russell on the road. Back up 280 to Helena. Take on the Helena Huskies this Friday night. Valley, the Rams of Valley, 3-2 on the year. Last week they lost at Russell County 45-27. And tomorrow night they will be at Sylacauga over there at Legion Stadium, taking on the Sylacauga Aggies. Marbury 0-6 this year so far. Last week dropping 1 to Sipsey Valley. Marbury losing 35-32. They have the open week this week in the 7-team region. Sylacauga, we've already mentioned. Last week, winners over Jemison 28-14, and they'll be hosting Valley this week. Scottsboro, the 5-1 on the year after their loss to Clay Central last week of 35-21. They will be at Brewer as they get back into region play up there in northeast Alabama. Elmore County, of course, they were open last week, and that's where our Vols are headed tomorrow night. They're sitting at 3-1 on the year. Hopeful, 2-3. They beat Maplesville last week, 35-7, and they will be at Beauregard tomorrow night. And there's the Beauregard Hornets. They're at 4-2, 3-0 in the region. Last week, they dropped a tough one to Andalusia, losing 28-27, and they're hosting again. They're the Hopeful Bulldogs. Pell City at 3-2, open last week. Jumping back into region play, they will be up at Lamar Field in Oxford, taking on the Oxford Yellow Jackets. The Central, and the series record between Central Clay County and Elmore County. This will be the seventh meeting between these two teams. Central leading that record series 6-0, six wins, no losses for Central. The last meeting last year where the Vols defeated Elmore County in Eclectic 48-6 in last year's contest.
Well, Coach Weems, give us a 5A top 10.
Okay, let's just go down the top 10. Not a whole lot of difference, a little shuffling down towards the latter half, but Catholic of Montgomery maintains the number one spot in 5A, and they'll be playing Carroll High School tomorrow night. The Gunnersville Wildcats, they check in at number two. They'll be traveling to Huntsville tomorrow night to play Grissom High School. Number three is still the Central Clay Volunteers. Number four team is Vigor from down in the Mobile area. They'll be playing Alberta tomorrow night. The number five team is Fairview. They'll play Russellville tomorrow night in a big battle up there in the North Alabama area. Number six, Moody. They'll play Center Point tomorrow night. Number seven is Corner. They've worked their way from number 10 up to number seven, and Corner will play Briarwood. Number eight team is Leeds, and they're playing St. Clair County, and that game is tonight, by the way. And then number nine, Williamson, they moved up a spot. They'll be playing Faith Academy down there in Mobile tomorrow night. And then the number 10 team is the team that the Vols beat last week, Scottsboro. They fell from 7-10, and they'll be playing Brewer tomorrow night. And then two other teams in 5A receive votes, and that would be Russellville and Shelby County. And, of course, Russellville has that big matchup with number five Fairview tomorrow night. So that's a quick look at the top 10 in 5A.
One thing I want to look at, and I've got it here, what we're going to do, we're going to do that, and then we'll close out our show right after the top of the hour. But we kind of mentioned it and hit on it a little bit. I mean, we're not trying to put the cart before the horse, but you start looking a little bit at playoff possibilities of matchups. And in the first round, Region 4, which we're in, will match up with Region 2. And we'll tell you the teams in that. And one of them's the number one team in the state at Montgomery Catholic. Also, Andalusia, the team that defeated Beauregard and Clay. Right now, they're number two in that region. Eufaula is in third. Actually, Eufaula and Charles Henderson tied in third. Both of those at 2-1. Andalusia and Montgomery Catholic undefeated in region play. Greenville still alive in that battle with 1-2. But Carroll and Headland are kind of 0-2 and 0-3, looking to be on their way out, not making the playoffs. But I would say that's a five-team battle for those top four. I don't expect to see Montgomery Catholic changing from the one seed there. But if the Volunteers continue to take care of business and end up, obviously the number one seed would play the number four seed out of that region. And I'm thinking there's a really good possibility. Charles Henderson's already defeated Greenville, so they would have the head-to-head against Greenville. But just kind of letting that be known, I've had a lot of questions about that over the last week or two, how that would work out, and kind of went in and done the homework. So what you guys thought? Those are all teams we've played. Andalusia in the past, Eufaula, Charles Henderson. Those are well-known teams that usually have very good programs. And obviously we know Montgomery Catholic's on a big run moving up to 5A.
Well, and, you know, we've got kind of an idea about Andalusia last week, them and Beauregard, that close game. And, of course, we've still got to play Beauregard on the road. And then, so, you know, those two teams would be, you would think, if you just go by the score, they would be fairly equal. But a question I wanted to ask you, Rusty, if you put the cart before the horse, would you be in reverse?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I thought about after you mentioned that.
Well, you could say that. Coach Herron, you got any take on that? Just kind of, you know, it's just informational right now, but we do know that we're enough into the season, looks like we're going to make the playoffs, and we'll be playing one of those teams we mentioned.
Right, and you know, more, and you would think, I mean, we don't know for sure, but it's going to fall out somewhere. The first round, you know, if we're able to be fortunate enough to win our region, we know we're going to be at home. And you would think, and I don't know who's played who yet, but it's probably not going to be Montgomery Catholic finishing fourth in that region.
No.
So you're probably looking at one of those other three that you mentioned.
And possibly four with Greenville.
Fourth with Greenville. So, you know, you've got kind of an idea of it narrowed down to a three or four team, pretty good guess possibility of one of, you know, who's going to be coming in here that first round, that first, second Friday night in November.
And some of those losses, these teams, their only losses are
to each other.
Play
right.
To each other. Right. So, you know, UFAL is always a well-rounded, very, mm-hmm. you know, we went down there and we played them. We've obviously had Andalusia up here in the playoffs in the mm-hmm. past. They're always a powerhouse of a team. And Charles Henderson, we've had many memories of playing them. It's been a while.
Yep.
So could be a Charles Henderson rematch. But, you know, you would think if we end up 1-2, we'll be hosting and it'd be one of those teams that it would be. I tell you what, let's do right now. Let's pause.
And something to keep in mind, Clay Central has never traveled the first round of the playoffs.
They've always, I didn't realize that, but you're right, never traveled the first round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect it to change.
No, it's not going to change this year.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM, Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network.
All right, let's move on here and get ready to finish this thing up. Coach Heron, first of all, you got anything to close this out and mention a little bit about what's going to be going on in the morning, if you don't mind?
Okay, well, you know, of course, tomorrow night back into region play, it's one of those games, you know, we need to be mainly concerned about ourselves and you know, kind of clean our game up. And I know the coaches have worked on some things this week that, you know, they saw last week on the film and witnessed, and a few things that we need to continue to do even better. You know, just continue to harp on those things, work on those things and those basics, because as we advance on through the rest of the season and then into the playoffs, you know, the fundamentals become even more and more important, and that's something they continue to stress each day. And looking forward to seeing our Vols again tomorrow night. They're on the field, on it is, I believe, at Burt Haney Stadium, Burt Haney Field.
I see it.
And they're in at Eclectic, so we're looking forward to that tomorrow night. Hearing you guys, when you guys kick off the pregame show there at 6:30 across the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network, and then carrying us all the way to kick off at 7 o'clock. But before we get there tomorrow, we're going to make a little road trip in the morning. Bright and early, we'll be pulling out probably around 4 o'clock, a little after 4 in the morning. There'll be us three along with the Heath Bone making the trip. We'll be headed over to the Talladega Super Speedway, and we will be bringing the whole Classic Country morning show, Coach and Friends and three-point stance, that whole four-hour block tomorrow morning, live from Big Bill's inside the Talladega Super Speedway, in close to the pit road right there inside the bowels of the Talladega Super Speedway is right where we'll be. And we've got some interviews lined up, some interesting folks. We've got a young driver that'll be actually racing tomorrow later on in the day in the Craftsman Truck Series there at Talladega. We've got some employees and some folks associated with the speedway there.
I just got
another one
that works at, that's the third one that works
there.
At the track.
There we go. So we got, you know, we're getting them lined up as best we can, and we'll be talking to those folks, and we'll be there sharing some things, and it's going to be a fun morning in the morning, coming to you live there from the Talladega Super Speedway. We'll be making the trip over in the morning as well as tomorrow evening in our courtesy car, compliments of Hill Auto Sales, and looking forward to a big day tomorrow across Classic Country 90.9 and a lot of things associated with the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network.
Coach, where are we stopping to eat on the way down?
Tomorrow, on our way on our afternoon trip tomorrow, we'll make the trip to Talladega and then back home and have a couple hours here before we hit the road again, headed to Eclectic, and we'll be taking the route down to Ellic City and then down Highway 63 toward Wind Creek and to Kalijah, the old Kalijah, you know, he never got a kissy. And we'll be crossing that bridge there at Kalijah and stopping at Kalijah Restaurant tomorrow, making our way down to
just
Elmore County High School.
Absolutely beautiful. I look forward to it. We made a stop down there last year.
We did. So, we stopped there last year.
Return trip for
Looking
us.
Forward to that trip back there tomorrow.
And I'll tell you this, the view is not my concern.
Well, thank you, Coach, for putting us in there. Coach Weems, what do you got as we get ready to close?
Well, it's going to be a busy day. There's no question about it. And we'll be rising bright and early. Well, it won't be bright when we get up.
It won't be bright when we come on, but we'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
But, it's going to be a big day, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I mean, what else could you want to do on a Friday?
Well, you're right, Coach. Full day tomorrow. You'll want to catch it all from 6 to 10. It'll be live from Talladega Super Speedway. You can listen to us however you're listening to us right now. I also want to remind you, again, as Coach mentioned, we'll go on there at 6:30 for volunteer football down at Eclectic. We'll be taking on the Elmore County Panthers in big region play. Saturday morning, a little different look Saturday morning, is myself. Tommy Woods going to be out of pocket. So it'll be me and guess who? Coach Chris Herron. Be the volunteer on the volunteer voices. We'll still be on there from 8 to 10 on Saturday, so make sure you tune into that. We'll be recapping, obviously, the Elmore County game and other things. I know Coach has been working hard to get information to fill Tommy's shoes.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, there's no way I could do that. I'll be there to help the best I can. Hopefully,
maybe you can get your toe in them anyway.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, help you get through.
But I look forward to it. It'll
I'll tell you
fun.
What I'll do too. On my way towards east from here, I'm going to listen to the show on the app.
Please do. We want you to. We want you to listen to it all the way.
Oh so. Yeah, Coach. Yeah.
May even call in.
We'll let you do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will definitely let you
we
do
sure
that.
Will.
So. It's going to be a big weekend because we won't be live for the rest of the weekend, but we're going to be making a trip over to Talladega Super Speedway, and we'll have reports from all through next week about
absolutely.
It. And trying to get some contacts built. We've added to our contact
we
list
have.
In a huge way from that trip.
We have.
And if you think about one of the big – Coach Holtz. Where did we get hooked up with Coach Holtz?
That was right there at the Talladega Super Speedway.
And what a connection that has mm-hmm. been. So, as always, Football Fiesta will be right back next week right here on Classic Country 90.9 from 6 to 7, live from Monte Albán, number 2 on Thursday night. And then right back, we start it again each week, so don't miss it. I almost don't want to close this thing out, but we're 6 minutes past our normal time, so I think we might want to do it. Y'all think, is it good?
Yeah, I'm going to try to go to bed a little earlier tonight.
Well, that's what Coach was saying. Maybe I should, too.
Why don't you at least try?
Me and Heathbone's talking about just staying up like old times and just
get you a Mountain View. Get you a Mountain View and do it.
Play Rook or something.
Yeah.
And see how we turn out in the morning.
Yeah,
but,
boy.
But anyway, we're until next time, God bless and go Vols.
Thanks for listening to Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Albán No. 2 Mexican Restaurant. Follow the Volunteers all season long on the official home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. On Classic Country 90.9, the Clay Central Sports Network Facebook page, and the Radio Alabama app.